Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Chuck Meraz, and our guest is Dr. Walter Blevins, Brown County Judge Executive. Doc, welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me, and also wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. I think this maybe is on Friday, but happy Thanksgiving weekend.
All right, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about what's going on in the county right now. I know that we like to discuss the jail project, and you know, I've driven by there. It looks great.
It does look great. They've actually got some of the grass or sod in there, and most of the paving is finished. There's still quite a bit of work to do. Excuse me, quite a bit of work to do on the inside. We're still looking at probably the 1st of March to get into it. Might get in a little earlier, but as far as actually opening it, would probably be March 1st or later.
I was going to ask you about the inside. I know that that's probably where most of the work is being done, as you noted. What's going on in there?
Well, they're connecting the air conditioning, heating units, and also doing painting and finishing up the wiring, that type of thing. And they didn't have any change orders this time, which was kind of unusual. But he did say there's 4 others that they're looking at. And so we'll have to look at those down the road. A couple of them were the jailer. Wes wanted extra doors put in on the hallways, I think, so he could maybe isolate it better. That could be a pretty expensive little, maybe $100,000 for those. We're just not sure yet. And there was something about maybe adding some more cameras after he went and looked at the situation up in Indiana, where we kind of modeled ours after. And that's going to be a cost as well. There was one thing that was mainly the architects and the they've got some flashing around some of the non-supporting walls, and that's they don't have it caulked, and I guess they're going to have to go in and caulk all that. It's about 4,000 feet of caulking to do, so it could turn into a little bit of money as well. But again, we're going to look at those. They'll be ready. They'll have the prices on them. We'll look at them and see what we decide to do.
Still, when we talk about the contingency fund that you set aside for potential change orders, I think it was about $950,000.
Yeah, somewhere in that range.
So you're way under that still.
Way under that. We're doing quite well compared to a lot of projects. We're way under, way over, or way under 50% of it. I mean, we're hoping we'll wind up with maybe $600,000 or $700,000. We hope.
So that leaves you maybe about $250,000, a quarter million dollars that you can do with other
well,
for
more
other
than,
things,
probably
right?
More than that.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're looking at, probably half a million to maybe 3/4 of a million.
So that's good.
Yeah, that's good. It's good. That helps us take care of some of these other things that are going to be needed.
I guess it also tells you that this project was very well planned.
Very well planned, and I wish we could have planned better and saved even some more time and money. These doors sometimes it's hard to get things as soon as you need them, so it could slow down the process of getting into the jail, which costs us about, I think it's about $30,000 a month or something like that we're paying the university for using their jail. So it could add up to quite a bit of money if we don't get in there as soon as we can.
Yeah, that's one thing that people forget is right now the property that is the current Rowan County Jail was sold to Morehead State University. Actually, it's kind of a land swap deal. But at the same time, you're paying rent on that property right now, and you'd like to get into your new property that you own and not have to pay
not
that
have
rent.
Not have to pay that rent. That's absolutely. That's the best case scenario, but we just have to wait on contractors and Wes and some of the other people make that decision how soon we can get in there.
What's the rent per month roughly for that property, you know?
I'm thinking it's $30,000 a month, I believe. No, it's probably $30,000 every quarter, I think. It's about $10,000 a month.
Okay, all right. So it looks good, though. I know that you and I guess your jailer, Wes Coldiron, and some of the other county officials do regular walkthroughs, don't you?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. We're going to go back up probably next our next meeting and probably take another tour. We've been up there and toured it. But they showed us some pictures. It looks like it's taking shape, and the sooner we get in there, the better. I think there's a big demand for housing, as you've heard probably on the newspaper and radio, that the state has contracted for a private prison, I think, in Lee County, to basically close one of the dorms down in Oldham County. That doesn't have hurt Oldham County that much, but it does help Lee County as far as employment. That county needs more employment. Oldham County, I don't think they have hardly any unemployment at all. It's hard to even find people to even work there. And so they're going to take about 800 prisoners from Oldham County, move them up into a private prison in Lee County.
With your new jail, obviously it's going to require more staffing than the current jail. Has the county looked at, and in particular jailer Wes Coldiron, at adding some more people in advance of this? You've worked on that
already? What I'm hearing is maybe about 11 to 12 new people needed. Of course, I'll have to work that out down the road. But I think he'll probably start hiring some of those in the next month or so and get them trained, ready to go once they do get opened.
All right, let's move on to some other subjects and just kind of looking at some of the things on the agenda from the fiscal court. I know you dealt with some budgetary issues for different departments.
Well, the advanced disposal host agreement rate change, we did not, I don't think it's due until maybe next year. We decided not to sign it, and we'll keep the rates the same as they are at present time. They were trying to ask for an increase. They probably need one. But my court just didn't feel ready to leap, especially since the contract isn't really ready to be renewed until, I think, March of next year.
How big of an increase were they looking for?
I think it's around about 100%. I think they're looking at about $10 per ton, or actually per visit. $10 if you take your truck out there, if you take a car out there and you want to dump something. I think they wanted to raise that to about $21, so it's actually more than 100%. The court just didn't feel like that was the right thing to do at present time, so we're going to have to look at it. They've invited us to come out and maybe take a tour of what they're doing out there. I'll be glad to go out there. I think most of the court members will be willing to go out there and take a look at what they're talking about.
Yeah, I know that this would be a mid-year increase, which is a little bit unusual.
Well, it's actually I think it's a five-year project, and they're allowed to take cost of living increases, and they did not, for the past 4 years or almost 5 years now, they've not taken a cost of living. They could do that without even the court acting upon it. So they didn't do that for some reason, and now they need the money, and that's what why they're asking for such a large increase.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess that this is something that you can review possibly when you start looking at the next budget.
Next budget, we'll be going through that, and it'll be due at that time. We'll make a decision, and it'll be hard-pressed not to give them some kind of an increase.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe they do it at the same time. I mean, doing it in the middle of the fiscal year probably is not something that I would, as you said, your fiscal court members would be in favor of. As we look at some of the other things, this is Muni Services, and it was Richard Boone. I'm not sure what that is. I was hoping you might explain that.
Yeah, I'll explain that to you. They were down at the CAICO meeting. Magistrate White, Ray, brought this to our attention and invited Mr. Boone to come up and talk to us about it. This company is actually a nationwide company, and what they do is they go in and take our tax rolls and look at our tax rolls compared to, they've got several databases, even their own database of different industries and different jobs, different small businesses. We feel like there are some people that are not paying the payroll tax. We think there's quite a few people not paying the rental income property that they're supposed to be paying 1.5% of that on their profits. Of course, I think the first $10,000 of that type of tax is exempt under our county. The city doesn't have that exemption. But what this company will do, they will give us a list of the people that they don't think are not paying their taxes, and the cost to us is nothing. They make their money off of taking 40% of the existing tax that year. They can go back, I think, up to 5 years, and they would take 40% of that. The county would get the 60%. We're not getting anything at present. After that initial first year, then we get the 100% of the taxes. But it's basically just to identify people that are not paying their taxes. They've had some good results in some other larger communities. I don't know how much it'll bring. They talk like it might be 3 to 7% of the people out there that probably aren't paying their fair share of the taxes on the payroll tax and also on the net profits on the net profit tax on the rental properties.
Almost sounds like a collection agency of sorts.
They can do that for you as well. They basically will just try to identify it, and they can also, if we want to, they can send out the letters, or explain people what it's going to cost them, that type of thing. We have, I think, enough in-house people. We don't think it'll be that large of a project, but we think everybody should pay their fair share.
How much have you been able to estimate, perhaps, how much the county is losing or not getting right now?
Not really. I think that's why we're looking at this Muni Service, because they can kind of come up with a better idea of the people that are really not listed on our list of people that should be paying and are not paying. We hope they can bring 3 to 7%. That'd be, I don't know, $50,000, $60,000, maybe even $100,000 of revenue that we're not receiving.
So you feel like this could be significant, right?
I think it could be significant. Ray and most of the magistrates, at least Ray and Daryl, who've been there the longest, they think that there's definitely a lot of people out here not paying their fair share. Again, we don't have the manpower to go out here and do it every day. We think that this company is showing that they've done it in other states and other nations, other large cities and some small cities. They're actually negotiating with several small cities here in Kentucky at present.
Okay, so it sounds like that this is something that, again, could net the county some significant dollars it needs, especially with budgets being tight as they are.
That's correct. And the other thing is, we think if one person's paying their taxes, everybody else should pay theirs. It's just a fairness issue.
All right, you guys and the road crew ready to go for winter?
We are ready.
The way it feels right now, it's just around the corner.
Yeah, it's right around the corner. We probably dodged a little bit of snow here last week. It could have, I think, northern or southern Ohio got some, and we didn't. So I think just flurries, but it's going to happen. It's winter time, so you just got to be prepared. We are prepared. I think the salt bin is full. We've got more salt available if we need it, and all the plows have been put on the trucks, ready to go as soon as it hits.
Well, and as people probably don't know, Doc, is that your guys are preparing the equipment months in advance getting ready for winter.
Correct.
So it doesn't just happen like, okay, there's a snow, and now we put the plows on.
No, you got to be ready because, I mean, you want to be out there as soon as that snow starts flying enough to where it needs to be pushed off the road and salted, that we're ready to go.
Well, it's kind of scramble mode for those guys, too, when the snow does hit. I know it is for the State Transportation Cabinet guys, that they're out there and they work lather long hours.
Yeah, those people really have a pretty tough, dangerous job. I mean, they're out there in inclement weather, snow, it's slick on them as well. And also, some of our roads are just very, very narrow for that kind of equipment to go through it. And some of our roads don't have the proper guardrail to keep them off run over a hill. So I appreciate what those guys do, and I think hopefully the public out there will appreciate them. And when they see them in Kroger or wherever they're shopping, Walmart or down at the IGA, wherever, that they thank them and for what they do for them.
We don't have many gravel roads in the county, but I would think those would be the toughest to work with when you talk about removal of snow and ice.
That's very difficult because it's you don't have any road marks to kind of see where you're doing. Sometimes you take a little deeper than what you want to, and you make create more of a problem. But we've got some people that have been there for quite a while. They're well-trained. I think they do a great job.
Is the road crew pretty well done with, say, patching projects at this point?
Pretty much. We can do some coal patching even in the wintertime, but I think there's not going to be much more blacktopping occurring. We're still hoping there's some money available through the governor's office and discretionary dollars. We've requested some of those. We're not sure we're going to get them. We got very little of it last year. It's just a matter of sometimes to the victor goes the spoils. We weren't really strong for the governor, and I think it's probably created some problems with us receiving some of the same. I know when I was in Rocky Run, we get $250,000 to $300,000 of discretionary dollars, and last year I think we got about $106,000.
So the shrinking, and obviously that very impacts your ability to fix up the roads.
That's one reason we went ahead and passed the payroll tax, because we're taking some of that money that we're not receiving from the state. We use part of that money for the building of the jail, also for ambulances, but also for the to make sure that we have adequate amounts of blacktop to take care of the roads, an adequate amount of gravel to take care of the roads that we do have.
We'll go ahead and take a break right here. Again, we're talking with Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins Jr. on Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. We'll come back with a little bit more right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Morehead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Back on today's Front Page, I'm Chuck Moraz, Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins Jr. is our guest. And, Doc, we've been talking a lot about the roads and things of that nature. I know right now they're bandying about tax reform at the state level. And as part of that, they're looking at the gas tax, which obviously provides a lot of money for road improvements across the state. And it's been kind of a floating thing in terms of it goes up and down depending on the price of gasoline. In your opinion, how should this be handled? I've always thought in my own mind that perhaps there should be a set amount, say, you know, whatever, 10, 15 cents a gallon on gas, so you always know what you're going to get.
Well, that's the problem we have because during the session, our last few sessions, the wholesale price has dropped. There's kind of been a glut of oil. And the problem with that is that you have to cut the road funds. And I think it's around, at one time it was around 31 cents a gallon, and it's dropped down to, I think we're getting around 26 cents a gallon. I wish I had those numbers exactly right, but I know we've taken a severe loss of revenue, and that affects the county roads. It also affects your state roads. We don't have enough money sometimes to match what the federal government's going to give us. So it's real tough. The worst part about that law is that you cannot raise the gas tax, even if the price of oil goes up, price of gas goes up above that wholesale price or goes up, then you can only raise it no more than 10%. So you can drop, you know, several 20 or 30%, but it takes you several years to get back to the level where you need to be. On top of that, we're seeing more and more fuel-efficient vehicles. We're seeing more and more electric and hybrid cars that use less gas or no gas at all. So I think the whole system needs to be looked at. I'm on the one of the members of the Kentuckians for Better Transportation, and Juna Barber, I had her come up here and talk to the Optimist Club, and she's a real go-getter. She spoke at the CAICO convention and did a tremendous job of telling us the needs that we have in our roads, and that we're going to have to find a funding source and move that floor back to where it needs to be so that we have enough adequate dollars to maintain at least what we have, much less. There's a lot of roads I'd like to see built, 32 out here. Of course, we finished 519, but 32 and, of course, 377, that's another road that definitely needs done. Cranston area, that's probably got us much traffic and as much death and damage out in that road as any of them. So there's still a great need for new, better facilities, but you have to have money. And right now, it doesn't seem like the General Assembly is ready to do that.
Should be a set amount per gallon, perhaps, as I had mentioned, maybe 30, 31 cents. Just leave it there no matter what happens with the actual price per gallon.
I think that's what you need to do. I mean, other states have moved forward on that, I think, and they realize that if you don't have the money to maintain what you have, you're going to wind up even spending more to ever get it back and may never get it back unless you have the adequate dollars. People don't like tax increases, but I think if you ask the public out there if they want their road paved and they don't want to have chug holes that knock their wheels out of line, or it's going to cost them that way as well. So I think most people realize that there's some taxes you have to have. That's one of them.
Yeah, I know that there's been a proposal that's been bandied about in different parts of the country about taxing cars on miles driven per year. And my thought has always been that really harms rural people the most because many of them have to drive several miles to their jobs.
Well, I think, again, they're looking at that as the miles for people are driving if they're in a hybrid car or if in, a, in an electric car where there's no, they're not paying anything for the use of the roads. So I don't think we're looking at maybe changing it as far as the number of miles you're driving. That would be unfair, to especially rural areas of the state. And there's still a lot of rural areas in the state. So those counties would really get hit. The citizens would be hurting much worse than what they are.
One thing I know that you have been a major proponent of during your tenure in office is countywide zoning, and that's something that hasn't happened. I know you've been disappointed about that. Do you, as you point toward your last year in office, maybe take another run at that?
I may take a run at it. I don't think I've got the votes. That's probably one reason I've not been pushing it as much, because I don't think I have the votes to do it. Maybe this next group of public officials will look at it a little better. Maybe it'll turn into one of the issues that we talk about. I'd like to go out at least this last year and maybe at least hold some hearings, invite some people to tell us why they are so against it, and also have some people there to tell people how important it is and how it can actually save your property values in some areas. That's something I wish I could have got across, but I wasn't able to do it. It's a tough issue. A lot of people do not have it in Kentucky, but I think those modern the communities that are moving forward, they tend to have it.
The one thing I wonder is there is a lot of development in the western part of Rowland County. That's the most growing area in our county. And as it grows, and obviously they're putting the new MCTC Center out there for the Rowland campus, and there are a lot of other buildings out there too as well, if that might drive zoning at some point or another down the road.
Well, I think it would. I wish I could just do zoning in part of my county. That would be nice. But you have to do – you can't just do a part of a county. You have to do the whole county if you're going to do zoning. But, again, I think we need to get out there and at least make this issue – bring this issue to the forefront, and maybe have people – at least talk about it, realizing that we're not going to do anything this for a year. It'll happen after the next administration if they want to do it. But I just don't find a lot of support among my current magistrates for doing anything like that. And I think it'll probably be an issue down the road. Hopefully it turns into an issue that eventually we can do something with it. Let me mention one other thing that with regrets, I cannot get my court to purchase Sunnybrook. I wish we could. They just don't feel like it's they don't have the money right now to go out there and do much with it. But my own opinion is if we could get it at the price that the university wants, I think it's around $350,000. That probably could be negotiated some as well, but by having another appraisal. I think if we had another appraisal, we could even lower that. We can only pay what the appraisal, and if we agree to what the university's appraisal is, was I think $350,000, we can't pay any more than that $350,000. But if we have an appraisal of our own that shows it's lower, that gives us an opportunity. But I don't know, maybe that's a fair price. I know that one time they were asking $600,000, and he dropped it down to $350,000. I think they had another appraisal done. But again, that is valuable property. I hate to see it turn into something that's not going to be for public use. We've worked for probably 15 years talking about Sunnybrook, but then with the economy the way it is, it's hard to find those kind of dollars to make that a reality.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier, and we talked about it, the contingency fund left over, the money left over from the building of the jail. Is that possibly what you're talking about, and taking some of that money and possibly buying Sunnybrook with that?
Well, we could probably take what the university is going to pay us and deduct the amount of $350,000 from the $700,000 that the university is going to they owe us for the jail. And so that would not even be – it takes money away, that $700,000 that the court looks at. I think they've got other ideas where they want to put that money. My own opinion, I think that we're being penny-wise, but pound foolish, because to me, that we're not going to find that tract of land that's out of the floodplain, that is good adequate roads to get to it. It needs some better bridges, but again, that's something down the road. Hopefully we can, if they raise the gasoline tax, there'll be more money to do those kinds of projects. But I'm regretful that I couldn't get my court to come along with me on that issue.
Any chance, I know we're about to wrap up, that this could be revisited?
Well, I think you can always revisit things. I'm hoping maybe with if the people hear this, they'll say, yes, we need to purchase it and put it in reserves so that we will have that property available when there's adequate dollars to do ball fields, soccer fields, playground, you know, just lots of things that need to be in our area here, and that that property is probably ideal for.
Judge, as always, thanks so much.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. I'm Chuck Meraz on Front Page. We'll see you next time.